right, open up your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 6. We're going to begin there tonight with our first passage of Scripture, and we'll be going to some other places as well. Tonight, of course, we're studying the doctrines that we believe as Baptists, the things that make us distinct. And the purpose is not to lift up being Baptist. The purpose is to examine the Scriptures and see what they say. Amen. What the Scriptures say is what we should go by. Now, I'm Baptist, and I believe our particular version of Baptist, whatever you want to say, is as close as anybody on the Scriptures. I believe that. But it's important that we make certain that we base what we believe and thus who we are as a church upon the Scriptures themselves and not necessarily on some man-made list. And in fact, I'm not really following a particular list or confession of faith as we talk about these things. I'm just going with different topics. Different things, such as tonight's topic, which is sanctification. And we've looked at a lot of things so far. In fact, this is the 22nd message on this that we've had, and there's going to be a few more yet. But there's a lot of things, a lot of doctrine in the Scriptures that we need to know. Now, as I said, we're going to be talking about sanctification tonight. Let me give you a definition for sanctification. You can say it is the state of growing in divine grace as a result of Christian commitment after conversion. Now, sanctification, I believe, actually begins before that. We're going to talk about that here in a few moments. But it primarily manifests itself in the life of a believer after they've made a profession of faith. And you will see the marks of sanctification, or should see the marks of sanctification, in that believer's life as they go on through life. Now, believers will never achieve perfect sanctification here in this life, but a believer can certainly expect to progress over the course of their lives in their sanctification and become more and more like Christ. All right, before we begin to delve into this and read some Scripture, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this night, this beautiful day, in fact, that you've given us, but this opportunity to come back together here tonight a second time and worship you together as a body of believers. And I just pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us from your word here tonight the things that you would have us know about sanctification. Help us to see the importance of sanctification. Help us to see the need to strive for sanctification in our lives every day. Lord, I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sanctification, my first point here, sanctification is an ongoing work in the life of a believer. I gave you a definition a few moments ago, and as it is the case with most things, a collection of words really is not enough to clearly define what sanctification is. But you might say also, another definition you might use for sanctification is it is the process of being made holy. Holiness is something we ought to be striving for in our lives. It is definitely something that God is working out in us in our lives, all right? And I'm not sure that much or enough is said about holiness and holy living in the Christian world of today. It seems like more time is spent on, you know, pep rally type speeches or whatever. More time is spent on how to, you know, tell people how to feel better about themselves and so forth. But we ought to spend more time in the Word, and the Word directs us towards this concept of holiness, how important it is for a believer to be demonstrating holiness in their everyday lives. So sanctification is, as I said a moment ago, an ongoing work. It really starts at regeneration. The very first experience someone will have with sanctification is really almost unknown to the person in a lot of ways. But once we are regenerated by the Spirit of God, God then begins to sanctify us, to make us holy, to take sin out of us and replace it with holy living, okay? And that change will overcome a person who has been regenerated. They will begin to have a desire to read God's word. They'll begin to have a desire to fellowship with God's people. They'll begin to have a desire to be close to God and to pray to God. And those things are evidence that God is bringing sanctification in their lives, because there are none of those things that a person desires to do before they've been regenerated. Not in a true sense. Now, a person may feel an obligation to go to church. They may even like to go to church for some reason, but it will be before they're regenerated, that is, but it will be a reason of the flesh. And it will not be to truly worship God and to fellowship with other believers. But once regenerated, changes begin to happen in a person. In sanctification starts in regeneration, because it is at that point that the elect are set free from sin, meaning that they're no longer slaves to sin's rule, and they no longer love to sin. Once you've been regenerated, sinning, though you may be enamored and tempted, and there may be an initial thrill or whatever associated with it, someone who has been born again will not love to stay in sin and to continue to sin. In fact, it'll be grievous, and that'll be the work of God's Spirit in their heart, making them that way. But I want us to read in Romans chapter 6, let's start at verse 11. And I'm going to read down through verse 18, and there is a lot here, and we're not going to dwell on this very long, but I want you to let some of these words soak in, and I pray that God's Spirit will speak to your heart as we read these verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That begins at regeneration. You become dead to sin and alive to Christ. And just a moment before you're regenerated, you are alive to sin and dead to Christ. And that gets flipped when the Spirit of God gives to you spiritual life. So we're now dead to sin, okay? Verse 12, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Now, that there's a lot there, like I said moments ago, and we're not going to dig into all of it. One point I want to bring out, though. Sanctification in one who has been regenerated and one who becomes a believer is not optional. So many Christians treat holy living as being optional. they will attempt to live holy lives when there is some gain for them. Okay? Sanctification is not optional. It's not something you pick up. It's not a switch that you flip on when you feel like you need to get closer to God. It should be an ongoing thing in your life, an everyday thing. Over the span of your life, you should be able to see growth, spiritual growth, in your life. Sometimes more than others. Anybody ever seen a tree when it's cut down and you see the rings of the tree? I don't understand a whole lot about this, but as I understand it, you look at those rings, some of them will be thicker than others. And those were good years where there was plenty of water, no drought maybe, and the tree grew well. Other times those bands will be a little bit thinner, and that leads you to understand that there was probably drought that year and the tree just didn't grow as much. Well, the Christian will have years like that. You will have periods of time like that in your life where you grow more than others. But there will be dry seasons, partly because of our flesh and our propensities to sin, you know, in the flesh. Sometimes it's just a dry season all around. Maybe outside of our control. But the thing is, that tree grew every year and added another ring and another ring and another ring, some thicker than others. So is the Christian. We should be growing over the course of our lives, and we should be able to see that and see evidence of that. But just because we have been set free from sin and it's no longer our slave master, that does not mean that we become completely free from sin in this life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That should be a fairly well-known verse of Scripture to you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, it's written this way. The preacher, Solomon, we talked about Ecclesiastes this morning in our Sunday school lesson, 7:20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." There's no such person on this earth. There's only been one on this earth that you could use those words to describe that person. Always did good and did not sin at all. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of us, however, we may have times when we do good and when we're obedient, but we certainly also have times when we have sinned against God. And that's the way it is here on this earth. We cannot escape that in our flesh here. Someday we will, praise the Lord, when we're with Him in glory, but for right now, that's not so. So what this tells us is we need daily forgiveness of our sins. And so Jesus instructed us in the model prayer when He told us to ask forgiveness every day for our sins. This sanctification process will be completed when we die and we go on to be with the Lord, because then our souls will be completely set free from sin and be made perfect. You might mark down Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, and look that up later. Right now, turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and verse 21. You see, someday we will be in heaven, those who are born again. And there, we will be given glorified bodies. There, our spirits will not be tempted any longer because sin will be completely taken away. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven." Word might be also translated citizenship, okay? "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ," verse 21, who shall change our vile body. Why is our body vile? Because we sin. And we sin. And we sin again on this earth. But that body will be changed. That flesh will be done away with. And the verse goes on, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, it's going to take a mighty act of God to make this transformation happen. But let me tell you something, God is more than mighty enough to make it happen. It will happen. We will be transformed. We will be given a glorified body and not be subject to sin any longer. Well, is that not something to look forward to? Well, let's go back to this life. Sorry to drag you away from that wonderful thought, but let's come back to this life for a moment and let us see that the believer should expect to see this regular increase in sanctification over the course of their life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, turn there for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. You see, God is working in us. We're going to talk in more detail about God's work in sanctification in a moment. But just know that he is working in us, and we are being changed. Now, for some of us, that change seems mighty slow and almost imperceptible. In fact, we might often scratch our heads and wonder, am I really growing, you know, in the Lord? But you belong to God, and you understand this. God is transforming you here on this earth right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. And it's my understanding that the Greek is the idea of being changed. It's a continuing change. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are being fashioned in the image of Christ. God is making that happen in us. For some, it seems to go faster than others. For some, it may seem like you're never going to get there. And we won't in this life. But we will be transformed into an image of Christ. Not Christ, not completely perfect like Christ is, but we will be like Christ in the absolute best way possible when we get to heaven. That process has started now. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we read, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul is talking about there is he hadn't gotten there yet. Now, let me tell you, if Paul didn't get there, we're not going to get there, not to that perfect place. But he was pressing towards it. He was straining for it. He was pushing himself to try to get there. And that's the approach we ought to take when it comes to sanctification in our life. And that's our part. Before we get to our part in it, I want us now to talk about the second point, and that is God's role in sanctification. Now, from the beginning of this, let me say that God has the primary role in our sanctification, okay? It is primarily the work of God in the believer's life that brings sanctification to pass. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This tells us about God working in us. You see, God's desire is that we be sanctified. And when God desires something, he will bring it to pass. So he will work out sanctification in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means entirely. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. It ought to be our prayer for ourselves and for our congregation and for other congregations that God would sanctify us wholly. Hebrews chapter 13 now, verses 20 and 21. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Why does he include that phrase there? To remind us of the power of God. If God could raise Jesus from the dead, one who was killed completely and totally by crucifixion, one who had laid in the grave for 3 days, if God could bring him back to life, and let me back up another and throw in another thing that makes this even more profound and extraordinary. And that's what happened right before and as Jesus was dying. He took upon himself the wrath of God for the sins of his elect people. Well, that's extraordinary. What it would take one person all of eternity to pay, Jesus paid not only that one person, but every person of the elect, all of that eternal wrath, he paid for it in the space of a few hours. That's how incredibly awesome Christ is. How strong he is. How pure and holy he is. Only he could do that. But it killed him in the flesh. It killed him. And God raised him from the dead. That same power. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, with that power, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Make you perfect in every good work. Now that word perfect in our day means, you know, without any wrong, with doing things perfectly, but in the scriptures, it often means more along the lines of maturity. And so the idea is that God is growing us, maturing us into doing good works according to his will. That's all part of sanctification. What's involved in this? How does he do this? Well, it's through the power of his Holy Spirit who works within us. The Holy Spirit of God who has been sent to us, not just to comfort us and not just to teach us, but also to work out sanctification in us. The Spirit is always working on you. And you ought to be thankful for that. Because we would quickly degrade in our behavior, in our obedience, if it were not so. We need the Holy Spirit of God within us. And both Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 refer to sanctification by or of the Spirit of God. They understood that it takes the Holy Spirit of God to bring about this work in us. Well, that brings us to my last point tonight. And that is our role in sanctification. What is our role in sanctification? I want to go back for a moment to Romans chapter 6. Turn back there with me, if you will. Romans chapter 6. And I want us to look at a few things, few words that are here. As I've said, it is primarily God's role to bring about sanctification in us. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a part to play. After, this of course comes after regeneration. That's all of God. It comes after conversion, which is where we use the faith given us by God to believe on Christ. And we use the repentance, the gift of repentance given to us to turn from sin and turn to Christ. After that, then we begin to take a role in our sanctification. And basically, what we do is we work this out in obedience, or through obedience, obeying God. That means a couple of things. As we look back at verse 11, Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it means that, as it says there, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. We have to understand that there has been a change. Some Christians, I think, bang their heads against a wall and wonder, why am I not changing? Why am I not changing? And part of it's because I think they're expecting themselves to wholly change themselves. Some people put it in terms of turning over a new leaf. I'm going to make myself a better person. Well, we can't really do that. We need, as we pointed out moments ago, the Spirit of God to work in us. But now there are some things we can do. And we can understand that, first of all, we've been given spiritual life. And if I've been given spiritual life, that means that there will be change in my life. Not maybe, not I hope so, but God will change you, and you should see evidence of that change going on in your life. So you've got to understand that. And then it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Once you have made that profession of faith in the Lord, it should become important to you that you begin to put sin out of your life. The thing about putting sin out of your life, it seems like when you put out this sin, another sin pops up to plague you. And we've got to deal with that here in this life. It will happen that way. But we then must go to work on that sin. And mortify it. That means put it to death. Who was the preacher in the conference that talked about killing the snake? Was that Brother Cozart? That's what we've got to do. We've got to see sin as a vile, venomous snake that's going to kill us if we don't kill it first. That's the attitude we need to take towards sin. Unfortunately, we tend to look at sin more like a teddy bear that we want to cuddle up with and hang on to and take it with us everywhere we go. That's not the way we should need to be looking at sin. We need to put it to death. We need to mortify it. We cannot allow it to reign in our body because Christ reigns over us now. He goes on and says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So not only must we put sin away, and by God's grace and help we can, but we must replace that sin with obedience to God. Some people keep falling back into the same trap, the same pattern of sin, because they're not replacing that sin with something that is a mark of obedience to God. You need to take that bad behavior and replace it with a good behavior. More prayer, more Bible study, more helping someone else. But we need to do things like that in our lives. And when we begin to do that, we take away sin's influence, and we find maybe that we really don't have time to sin because we're busy serving God. That's what we need to be striving for. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. I'm convinced that you and I cannot fully comprehend the depth, even the width of grace, God's grace in us, not in this present life. I think when sin is taken away and we're dwelling with God for eternity in glorified bodies, I think then we'll have a much better appreciation and understanding of God's grace. But let me tell you, it is by His grace that we must live. Not only does grace lead to our regeneration, our salvation, but it also leads to our sanctified and holy living in this life. Grace. We sing a song, Amazing Grace. And when I sing it, I think more of salvation than anything, but I also ought to think about how we need that grace every day. We need God's grace to live every day. And we need to start working out sanctification. There's a verse of scripture in Philippians that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's part of sanctification. Us, our part of sanctification. Working out every day what God has done in us. God changes us from the inside out. And those outward things are the things that we get involved in. Those are the things that we ought to be doing to demonstrate that there's been a change inside. Not to show off to people. Certainly not to say, hey, look at me and look what a good Christian I am. But no, to point others to Christ, to say, look, Christ has wrought this change in me. He can do the same for you. And the only way we're going to get to that, the only way we're going to work out our salvation in that fashion, is by giving attention to things like prayer and Bible study and fellowship with the believers and doing acts of mercy towards others, witnessing to them about Christ. Those are the things, outward things, that we can do that will demonstrate that God has made that change on the inside of us. So my question to you tonight, two questions. Has God changed you on the inside? Do you know you've been born again? Have you made a profession of faith in Christ as your Savior? Have you repented of sin, turning to Christ? If you have confidence of that, and the Holy Spirit of God will testify to your spirit that that is so, if you have confidence of that, then you need to start demonstrating on the outside through obedience to God and make a testimony to others around you that that has happened on the inside. Are you doing that? Can people look at your life and see that you've been sanctified by the power of God? That you are pursuing holy living? Can they see evidence of that in your life? You need to answer that question truthfully and honestly and beg God for power to make it so if it's not so. And if it is so, beg God for more power to make it grow, that we might grow every day to be more like Jesus, our Savior. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, and let me back up for a moment. Don't leave. Keep your seats when I finish this prayer, because we have a matter of business to talk about. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you for these words that we've read here, the scriptures that we've read, and for this idea of sanctification, this doctrine, and how important it is to us. And I pray that we would pursue holy living in our everyday lives, because first, we know that we've been saved by the grace and power of God. Lord, I pray for this for everyone here. Go with us, O Lord. Forgive us of our sins, our backslidings. Help us, Lord, to experience revival, to move forward, to press toward that mark, as the Apostle Paul said. Help us to live holy and sanctified lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.